Yeah. I don't even know the pitches you're talking about where she did get the calls. I mean, it was consistently small, I thought. I mean, again,
I just thought the ones that she got, and then they would come back. The next pitch, she would come back. And it was the same exact pitch at the same exact spot, and he would say, outside. And I'd be like, wait a minute. The other one was the same exact pitch. How is that one outside?
And I don't even think the other one was called a strike, but maybe you're right. Yeah. It felt like all of the time she tried to just hit the corners and did, it was a ball. I don't know if the ump called a strike three all night. It was like he was, you know, some fans.
There was one that was outside, but it was a swing strike three. You're right.
Yeah. Well, she had six strikeouts, but again, I think they were all swinging strikes. Like, you know, fans will say, well, let the players decide. We don't want the refs or the umps to decide the game. That umpire took it literally. He's like, I'm just not going to call a strike three all night. I'm going to make the players swing at it if they're going to strike out. Like, crazy. Crazy to me.
By the way, you weren't going to get anything low, anything by the knees or just underneath. You weren't going to get any low calls. They started rolling them up after a while.
If I was a batter in that game last night, and these girls are a lot better than me, and they've got probably more pride than me, and they should, I would not have taken the bat off my shoulder. Because that umpire, he was not going to call three strikes during any at bat. I would have walked every single time I was up there. He was not going to call three strikes during an AB. Maybe he heard the other ump call. Remember we played this the other day?
Bell is frozen here.
They're frozen, yeah.
He was too scared. Like, I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want to have one of those weird-ass strike three calls, so I'm just not going to call one all game. I don't know. To me, that makes Gavon's performance even more impressive. That's the point I'm trying to get to here is like she was great regardless, but despite the fact she got no help from the guy behind the plate, I think that makes what she did against that offense even more spectacular.
Yeah, this should be a great game tonight again, too.
Yeah. Well, I love watching Texas softball, but I don't want to watch them tomorrow night.
No, we don't want to see another one after this.
No, tonight's great. Like, I'd like to focus on the Spurs and the Knicks, game two tomorrow. I want 100% of my attention to be dedicated to them. I don't need another winner-take-all game. Texas has played enough elimination games in this tournament. We don't need one more tomorrow. You know, last year, Texas took game one. They dropped game two, 4-3. I would like to avoid that happening again. Let's just go ahead and put this thing to bed today. What do you say?
We'll see what their head coach has in mind, what he has in store, what move he's going to make today as he sits there with a burger in his hand behind the fence.
See, now that's mean. I didn't say
he ate a human. You said he ate a human being.
I was just asking the question.
You said he ate Brad Pitt.
I didn't see him with a burger in his hands in the dugout last night. Maybe when they weren't showing him the two pitches they didn't show him, maybe that's when he was scarfing it down. All right, see, now you got me.
Why isn't he near the dugout or on the field? Why is he hiding behind the fence there?
I'm surprised.
What's over there? What is over there? Is there popcorn over there or something?
What are you going to say? You're surprised that gate didn't fall down? He was leaning on it. How was it able to hold him up? Is that your next comment, sir?
No, I just didn't know. Did they have to bring somebody to pull the gate open like they do for the bulls at the rodeo?
Oh, see, that's a body shamer here, sir.
No. We're not like that at all.
That's just wrong. Well, if you think we're being mean to that dude today, just see what happens if Texas wins this series. See what we'll talk about the Red Gamblers. I mean, Red Raiders tomorrow.
Red Gamblers.
They're able to win. Good stuff. What a win. What a performance by Texas. The Longhorns one win away from going back to back. And again, the stat, it's not 100%. Job's not finished. But the game one winner in this best of three format goes on to win the series 80% of the time. So history very strongly in the Longhorns' favor. They were a part of that 80% last year. They did drop game two, but obviously took care of business in game three. The Longhorns, hopefully, they get it done tonight, bring out the brooms, and we've got another tower lighting here in Austin, Texas, USA.
Yeah, they've got a number of home run hitters on their team, BK. They got a whole group of hitters that have 20 or 20 more home runs, I believe, on that team.
Yeah, a bunch with 10. I think they have like 8 of their 9 in their starting lineup have 10-plus bombs. So, look, they're good. They're really good. You don't make it this far unless you are. They're not going to go down without a fight. But so is Texas. Texas is great. They've been here. They've done that. The Longhorns playing with a ton of confidence right now with 5 straight victories. And, yeah, I mean, I love the way this team is playing right now. They've reached that crescendo, as you like to say.
Yes.
Now they got to just get it done one more time. Okay, we'll take your thoughts. The Coda text line, 512-222-9328. Of course, tomorrow we'll be talking more Texas softball, win or lose. But again, hopefully we're celebrating another natty. We'll get back into the Spurs conversation. Plenty more meat on that bone. The Knicks taking game one of the NBA Finals. We've got some sound from Wemby, some sound from Mitch Johnson, some sound from Jalen Brunson. Just more thoughts on what went wrong for San Antonio. But before we get back to that, how about a few more sponsor shout-outs?
Well, if we're talking burger, fries, and shakes, you might as well be talking about Hat Creek Burger Company. If coach wants to go over there, if any coach wants to go over there, mom, dad, anybody, kids want to go to Hat Creek Burger Company, you'll find a location here in the Austin area for sure. Over 30 locations in the state of Texas. Great place, great food, great fun. They've got it all there. The shakes, the fries, queso fries, the whole, they got nuggies there, as a matter of fact. Little Hat, Big Hat. Love the strawberry shake with the whipped cream and the cherry on top of it. Great playgrounds for kids and great happy hours for adults there. As I said, the happy hour for adults, you can get yourself a margarita, little mixed drink while you're at Hat Creek Burger, while the kids are at the playscape. I love Hat Creek Burger. Haven't had a chance to get there this week. Played golf a little too early. Got to get there today or tomorrow. Get my weekly Hat Creek Burger in. Everybody, there's something there for you at Hat Creek Burger.
Yes, indeed. HatCreekBurgers.com to find a location near you, and you can place an online order there as well. Shout out to AV Consultations, our guy Tom McKay. Look, it's a great time to be a sports fan. We've spent a lot of time talking about why. You've got the Women's College World Series. You've got Super Regionals coming up, and then, of course, we'll have the Men's College World Series, and then, of course, the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Final, the World Cup gets going. 1 week from tomorrow, USA, USA, USA. You want to have the TV set up to watch all of the games, and you want to do it at the comfort of your own home. You don't want to leave your couch. You don't want to leave your recliner. Stop spending all of your time and money, very expensive to drive around these days, driving to the sports bars, going to friends' places. God forbid you got to go to your in-laws because they have a better TV setup than you. That's a disaster. Make your home the place to be for friends, for family, most importantly for yourself, with a custom TV setup from Audiovisual Consultations. They've hooked both of us up. They've been hooking up Central Texas since 1988. TVs, home theater rooms, patio setups. They do surround sound speakers. They do whole home lighting. They can even put a golf simulator inside your home. Anything technology, anything fun. You want to have fun in this life. You only get one. AV Consultations is going to make your home a more fun place to be. AVConsultations.com or call them 512-255-8678.
Wait, I didn't realize that Texas Tech had 15 transfers on their team, BK. You said that whole team is made of transfer portal girls, isn't it?
It's a lot of portalers. Yeah.
A lot of portalers, huh?
Including both of their star pitchers. Nyjah Kennedy's been in Lubbock for a couple of years, but she transferred in from Stanford. Caitlin Terry transferred in for this season. They invested a lot in their program, and they're taking advantage of the fact that they can't. So Texas has a few transfers, but there's no doubt the Longhorns much more homegrown, more high school recruiting and development going on with Texas softball right now. And look, multiple ways to skin a cat. You can win championships being heavy in the portal. Or you can win through recruiting and development. Texas last year, recruiting and development. If they win it again, it'll be more of the same. I do think from a fan's perspective, and look, titles are titles. You'll take them however you can get them. But one of the big problems with college sports now that just wasn't a problem when you were growing up, when I was growing up, when just about any of us were growing up, it's hard to get super attached to the players now because you have a different roster every year in every sport. Like back in the day, it's like, yes, we got this recruit. He's here for 3 or 4 years. He ain't going anywhere. So we get to know this guy. We get to fall in love with this guy. We get to learn about him on the field or court and off the field or court, or her on or off the field or court. And now it's like, it's just rental players. Everyone's on a one-year contract. And, you know, for Texas Tech, that's kind of what they're dealing with. For Texas, that's a lot of the same group from last year, but not just last year. A lot of the same from, you know, the run to the finals in 2024 and the previous years before that, that they made deep runs under Mike White. It's, I think, easier to feel more attachment to your team when it's kind of this, again, homegrown way of building what the way Mike White has done.
So, you're right. You can do it both ways, but, boy, it's nice when it's homegrown. You're absolutely right.
It's just a little more special, I think, when it happens that way. And that's kind of lost in college sports. So credit to Mike White for, again, job's not finished, but still getting to this point, a really, really big deal.
Yeah, I mean, and I kind of like, you know, the thing that I've liked about softball, I hear when all these teams, whether it's Tennessee, SEC teams, UCLA, USC, teams like that, they have a lot of freshmen. They have a lot of high school seniors that come, and they play at the college level pretty quickly. I mean, that's one sport that seems to be, when it comes to getting freshmen in, is women's softball. They play. They must be really good. The high school level must be something. I mean, I've never seen a high school level women's softball game before. Fast pitch. I've never seen one. I mean, in person. I mean, and they don't show much of it. Maybe they show more of it on TV than I think, but boy, that level of baseball must be pretty decent.
They're not showing much high school softball on TV.
Yeah, okay, well, then that's why I don't see it. But they must be pretty talented at the high school level, and even in the, especially in the state.
Well, what's the creepy P. Diddy line you always use?
If they're good enough, they're old enough.
Yeah, so if that applies in football, shouldn't that apply in softball too?
And it's not creepy.
It's not, just, not creepy, I can tell you that.
It's just true. They're good enough. They are old enough.
What's your next line? If there's grass on the field, play ball?
No, I've never used that one before.
All right. Let's keep it that way, I think.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. No, Texas, look, Hannah Wells, freshman who plays every day. JC Nichols, a freshman who plays every day for this Texas team. So they've got a lot of experience. Tegan Kavan, Reese Atwood, Vivi Martinez, Ashton Maloney. These are girls who have been here for a long time, and they've been a part of these deep runs that Texas keeps going on. But, yeah, there are a couple of freshmen who are making impacts day in and day out for this club, and I think that's going to continue moving forward. So they're going to recruit at a high level. And, yeah, some of these girls every year are going to make an impact from the moment they step foot on campus. And, again, Hannah Wells and Casey Nichols in the lineup every day, big hits, big contributions, big reasons why the Longhorns are one win away from a title.
Yeah, we got to get this because we want to keep Joey McGuire quiet too. We're trying to keep that dude quiet right now.
Impossible.
We need to keep him just rallying to get that new job in high school, back to the high school ranks here soon.
Oh, you're kicking him out of Lubbock? You're sending him back to high school?
I don't know if he's going to be able to get that gig once he gets out of there.
Texas Tech is keeping the PR stunt going for as long as they can. And look, Steve Sarkisian started it, so nobody to blame but himself. I don't think he cares, but I'm annoyed by this entire story. And like, you got to look in the mirror a little bit, because if Sark doesn't say what he said at the touchdown club in Houston, then none of this happens. Now, again, Sark's point is totally lost. No one's talking about what he actually said. Oh, by the way, Texas Tech, Buck, there are rumors now that they're about to schedule a marquee home-and-home against an non-conference team, which that was Sark's point, is that Tech's not doing that. Sark's about to bully Texas Tech into doing that because they know he's right. So his initial point is absolutely right. It's dead on. And even Texas Tech realizes that. So they're making a change to their schedule, allegedly. But at the end of the day, if Sark doesn't make those comments, then none of this happens. But yeah, Texas Tech,
they're not playing the Christians or the Baptists, or they're not doing that. They're actually going to play somebody.
We're talking about the end of the decade, but yeah, the reports are that they're about to schedule a home and home with the Blue Blood. And I'm thinking it's going to be Nebraska, and that'd be the funniest thing ever.
Oh, they'll schedule North Carolina A&T or somebody.
I don't know if that's a Blue Blood.
That's who they're scheduled.
They're like, we're scheduling a Blue Blood, but it won't be Texas because they're too scared. That was what Joey McGuire said yesterday. And I hope, I don't think it will be, but it'd be the funniest thing ever if they scheduled Nebraska, who's like technically a Blue Blood, but obviously they've been awful since the late 90s. So it's like, that'd be the absolute funniest pick. And it'd fall in line with the way they have been scheduling. recently.
Here, why don't we just give them Michigan? We know how to beat up on Michigan. Let Texas Tech beat up on Michigan a little bit. Michigan's no good.
Michigan would be a much tougher opponent than anybody they've played in the non-con in quite some time. So, yeah, dunk on the Wolverines if you want, but they're a lot better than Abilene Jewish.
They got to play. They better get them off their schedule before they have to go to overtime with them again.
Yeah, that did happen the last time Tech hosted Abilene Christian. All right, enough about the your markers. Back into the NBA Finals conversation, Buck. Again, New York takes game one, 105-95, the final. We open up the show talking a little bit about this, but a few more thoughts, a few more big takeaways from you on what went wrong for San Antonio last night and what they need to do to even up the series tomorrow night.
You know, I'm still, you know, as I talked yesterday, Mike Brown's been around for a while. I mean, he's been an assistant. He's been in the NBA a while. Coach Johnson is new to him, you know, learning as you go. I mean, he's been around Pop. He's been around coaches, but this is a little bit different now. You know, you have to make some of these moves you have to make during the course of the game. You got to make them in a hurry. And I just kept on thinking, you know, when I was asking Carl, and I've asked this question before, are the Spurs just that team that it's going to take them a couple of years to understand when you got somebody down, you need to find a way to keep them down? And that 14-point lead, BK, as you said, maybe not 30, but it should have been in the 20s at that time. They just don't seem – they seem to let people back in it. And, they start to turn the ball over. They start taking a bunch of threes. You know, Wimby's playing out there 30 feet away from the basket. You know, he gets a lot of tip-ins and things like that, gets a lot of rebounds. But when he's out on the perimeter trying to be a guard, which drives me nuts, you know, yes, he's gotten away with it. Yes, he's the best player, right, probably right now in basketball. But certain things that he does as a young man right now, I think that's where your coaching comes in, and your coach has to take over. And I don't know if the Spurs are quite there with their young coach yet.
Well, let's start with the coach here, and we'll get to Wimby in a moment, because, you know, if we're doing a heroes and zeros segment, if you will, for game one of the NBA Finals, then two of the zeros are definitely Mitch Johnson and Victor Wembanyama. The two awful coaching decisions that Mitch Johnson made yesterday have nothing to do with Wembanyama, by the way. The first one, not playing Dylan Harper more than 3.5 minutes in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that didn't make sense. He looked like he was one of the better players. But he was the second best player. You know, even Wimby with the 20 some points he scores, he's always the best on the court.
No. Wimby was not the best player on the floor for the Spurs last night. He was not good last night. Scored 26 points, but it was incredibly inefficient. He had 6 turnovers. He was 6 of 21 shooting. He was bad. He took the blame too. So I'm not saying anything that he didn't say himself. He was not.
No, he's complaining about himself. He said he did not play well.
Dylan Harper was the best player for the Spurs. And Dylan Harper led the Spurs in scoring through 3 quarters. And yet in the fourth quarter, he only played 3 minutes and 33 seconds. I don't know, Buck, if there's some sort of clause into Aaron Fox's contract that says he has to be playing in the fourth quarter. That guy is not good right now. And maybe it's the ankle sprain that he suffered a couple of rounds ago and he's just not 100%. I don't care the reason. He led the Spurs in minutes with 38. That is a joke. He is doing more bad than good, and Dylan Harper was awesome, and yet in crunch time, when the Knicks are going on that 11-0 run to take the lead and put the game on ice, Dylan Harper's on the bench. How does that happen?
I don't care if you take Harper and say you take Brunson the entire series. Please.
He needs to be out there. I don't care who he's got. He needs to be out there. Definitely last night. It's sometimes, I guess, when you're a coach, you get caught up in the moment. You're so focused on the 5 guys on the floor that maybe you forget to turn and look at your bench. I mean, the Spurs have 11 freaking assistant coaches. Like, why is nobody going up to Mitch Johnson? I'm going to blame the head coach because he's the head coach.
Right.
But how does Mitch Johnson and the Spurs coaching staff not realize that Dylan Harper's a much better option than De'Aaron Fox? De'Aaron Fox in the fourth quarter, 0 points, 0 assists, 2 turnovers, 0-for-2 from the floor. He played 11 minutes. That is, I'm sitting on my couch. I'm not even a Spurs fan, and I'm like yelling at the screen wondering, where's the rookie? Why isn't he out there? So that was one.
And they shoot a lot of threes. Man, I know.
Go ahead.
Live by it, die by it.
Well, that's, I mean, that's just how they play. And I agree. I mean, there were a lot of early shot clock threes that I thought the Spurs were settling. Like, you can get those shots later in the shot clock.
Yes.
Then, like, you can get a bad three at the end of a clock. You don't need to take one early. You could try to work your offense and get something better. So I agree with that. The other thing that I had written down, and you referenced this a little bit earlier, Buck, like, Stephon Castle's an elite defender. He's an elite defender. And everybody and their mother knows that the Spurs want to put Castle on Brunson. So what did the Knicks do over and over again? They would set a pick.
Yes.
To get somebody else on Jalen Brunson. Usually, at least in the fourth quarter, it was Julian Champagne. He was a hell of a player. I mean, him in the first half, he's the only reason the Spurs didn't get blown out yesterday. But they, like, the Knicks were attacking that matchup. And instead of Castle trying to fight through screens, or instead of switching back or something, the Spurs are just like, you know what? You want that matchup? Y'all can have it. Y'all can have it. We don't care. And then Jalen Brunson just down the stretch hunted his matchups, got who he wanted. He took over the game. If you're the head coach of the Spurs, you got to take a timeout and put an end to that madness.
Absolutely.
Like, sorry to bring up Pop all the time, but Pop doesn't let either of those things happen. He doesn't forget to put Dylan Harper in the game, and he doesn't let Jalen Brunson continue to beat them in every big possession down the stretch.
Dude, and he made tough shots, but he made some easy. He got loose in the corner by himself. He got a lot of shots where he was taking guys. I mean, he's 6'2".
I know.
I mean, he's taking guys to the rack. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, it's not like he doesn't do that all year long. That guy's a great player.
For sure. Yeah, and anything I'm saying is not to take away from Jalen Brunson. That guy is one of the best players in the world, and he's about as clutch as you could possibly be. But I just – those two decisions by Mitch Johnson, he looked like a guy who was coaching his first finals game last night. And, look, I'm not pushing the panic button. I still think the Spurs are going to win this series. But that was the Knicks did not play all that well. You had a 14-point lead.
That should scare Spurs fans, too. The Knicks didn't play that well either.
Like you said, they had the 14-point lead in the second half, and they had a one-point lead with 2 minutes to go, and they didn't score again. So they had their chances, and they let that one slip away.
Yeah, and Fox misses it. Hey, there must be something up with that ankle. You're right. He misses a lot of – and he gets to the basket, BK, but he missed a lot near the rim again, too.
Yeah, he – again, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and assume that it's injury-based, but, like, he's bad right now. He can't be on the floor. And, again, him leading the Spurs in minutes last night when he played the way that he did.
Yes.
I mean, he was 3 of 13, 0 of 4 from deep, 3 turnovers. Like, there was nothing redeeming about his game, yet he played more than anyone else. I don't know, you know. De'Aaron Fox might be playing for his future in San Antonio, honestly. Like, if the Spurs lose this series and Fox keeps playing like this, again, maybe we find out he's really hurt and it's like, all right, well, that's the reason. But I'm not seeing enough from that guy to be like, he definitely needs to be on the team next year. He's making a lot of money to not do a whole heck of a lot at the moment. So,
yeah, and they got to get Wimby back in the circle somewhere. I mean, they can't give up 50 points in the paint, you know, with guys getting rebounds because Remy's out messing around with, you know, with the Catman out there 30 feet away. They need him near. Make that dude, if he's going to make shots, you got to give it to him more than once or twice. If he makes two of them, that doesn't mean you got to go flying out there 30 feet away. Forget that.
The Catman, I like that. Is that a superhero name or something?
Well, man, that's his nickname, Cat.
I know.
Anthony Towns. That's what they call him, Cat.
They used to call you the Cat Man back in the day, didn't they?
Yeah, they used to call me that and numerous other names.
What were the other ones?
I don't forget that. You don't need to know that. That's not for radio purposes. But you take Wimby and bring him out there 30 feet away. Carl Anthony Towns puts the ball on the Wimby lately when he puts it down on the ground. It hits off of his feet or off his legs. Or off his ankle or whatever. That guy's, you know, he had one shot last night where he went to the rim and scored left-handed. But my God, lately he's been dribbling them off his big feet and everything else when he tries to put it on the ground. Carl Anthony Towns gets down there, BK. He gets down, he does head fakes, and he takes you with his double Euro step, you know, taking up, you know, 25 feet on two steps. I mean, it's incredible.
Karl Anthony Towns is a great player. Like, and the guy was third team All NBA this year. It's the third time in his career he's been an All NBA player. He's very, very good. And when he's right, he is an elite player. And yeah, he got the better of Wembanyama last night. He absolutely got the better of Wembanyama. And Jalen Brunson in the fourth quarter, the reason the Knicks were able to close the game out. But the biggest factor in the Knicks overcoming that huge third quarter deficit, where they were down 14 and then tied it up by the time we got to the fourth, that was Karl Anthony Towns. That guy was getting offensive rebounds. He was getting buckets. He was playing great defense on Wimby. Like, he's very, very good. And that cannot be a matchup that the Spurs lose in this series.
Yeah, I mean, he faces up to Wimby, you know, at 7 foot himself. I mean, he'll face up to him.
Yeah. Yeah, he defends him well. Like, the combination of Towns and Mitchell Robinson, they did a great job on Wimby last night. But, you know, Wimby's too good. You want to be the best player? I feel like we just had this conversation after game five against the Thunder, where it's like, Wimby, you tell everybody you're the best player in the world and the MVP and this, that, and the other. You can't have games like that this time of the year. Now, look, it's best of seven. Wimby could ball out in four straight. The Spurs could win this thing in five, and we're all going to forget about game one. But, like, that's the biggest game he's ever played in last night. NBA Finals, never gotten here. And he just was not aggressive enough. He was not nearly good enough.
Yeah, it looked like you said, I know his energy level wasn't there. And the guy Hart for the Knicks looked like the guy who was, you know, the game was do or die. Every inch of that game, every second of that game meant something to him.
Yeah, here's Victor Wembanyama. A couple of cuts from him after the game last night. He was asked, first of all, what went wrong down the stretch?
I mean, we let them get an offensive rebound, so that's on us. And after that, that's an experienced team. They know how to play with momentum. And we had the momentum until late in that game. This is why I said we let that one go.
Yeah, he's of the thought of, hey, if we're up 14, we need to be up 25. Let's quit being up and letting people come back. But once again, it is the NBA, and a team like the Knicks, they come back. They don't quit. They won't quit. They're not going to let you run away and hide against them.
No, I mean, you're not playing the Brooklyn Nets. You're playing the New York Knicks. Like, they're in the finals. They won 11 games in a row to get here. It's a great team. So, yeah, you can't just assume that we've got a double-digit lead in the third quarter. We're all good. This thing's over. Like, that can't happen again. Here's one more from Wimby.
They just did some things to build that lead that once they got it, it started to be like, okay, like you said, let's we get up here. We got a little bit of semi of a break. Let's just take this three-pointer from with, you know, I'm like, why? You're allowed to run some clock. You got the lead. Yeah. You know, you got your big man who's out there playing, you know, center guard or whatever he's trying to do from the outside. Get him with his back to the basket every once in a while. Throw it into him. Nobody's going to jump as high. Even if he's covered by another seven-footer, get that guy in foul trouble sometime.
Well, yeah, Wimby shooting 9 threes is not a good recipe for success.
No.
For the Spurs. We know he can make them. We know he's a very good three-point shooter, but, I mean, 2 of 9. It's not like he was 6 of 9, and it's like, oh, yeah, keep shooting him. It's like was taking way too many. He had some bad bricks in there, too, and that's what the Knicks want. If you could keep Wimby 25, 30 feet away from the hoop, that is a win for the defense right
there. And especially they're so athletic on with the Knicks, too. They got athletic guys, too. And so when Wimby takes those big, long dribbles, BK, those guys come underneath that, and they are stealing the ball. And you know the Spurs will be a little bit of a turnover machine. They happen to turn it over. Not just Wimby. Everybody in that group offensively has their turn and given it away. Except for Harper. He doesn't turn it over that often.
Now just one turnover in 28 minutes for Dylan Harper. I mean, Wimby led the Spurs. He had 6 on his own. The Knicks as a team had 8 turnovers for the entire game. Wembanyama had 6. And a couple of big stats here. The Knicks only had 1 turnover in the second half. Wow. So the Spurs, the best defensive team in the playoffs so far, you know, not a horrible defensive night for them. Giving up 105 in today's NBA is not horrible, but they couldn't take the ball away from the Knicks in the second half. And then to your point about all the threes that the Spurs kept jacking up, just 2 made three-pointers in the second half for San Antonio. That's how you let a big lead like that fall through the cracks.
You're right.
So game 2 tomorrow. Teams that win game 1 go on to win the finals 70% of the time. So that's the not-so-good news for the Spurs. Obviously, the good news is it's not 100% of the time. You still got this one, but the Knicks, they have stolen home court in this series. There's one other thing I wanted to bring up here. Oh, more sound from Victor Wembanyama. That's what I wanted to do here. Wemby was asked post-game, like, what he needs to do differently to make sure a performance like last night's doesn't happen again.
I mean, it's almost not like I have anything to figure out. It's almost like I have to play normal, not even good. I'm just doing the right things is enough. It's when I play bad, it's when we shoot ourselves in the foot. This is why I'm not worried. We're going to be so much better. I'm going to be so much better.
Yeah, he was just off. Like I said, there was not a lot of energy by Wemby last night. You know,
yeah.
That guy can dominate a game just on the defensive end. But when you're out 30 feet away from the basket and you are the main defender back behind you, there's nothing else back there. There's nobody else. When the ball goes up, I mean, he gets tip-ins. He gets slam dunks. But if he's out there 30 feet away, he's not going to get that. They need him down deeper. And as you said, BK, gave up 50 points in the paint to the Knicks.
Yeah. Well, he said he's not worried. He said he doesn't even have to play good. He just needs to not play bad. And look, he did play bad, and the Spurs had a one-point lead with 2 minutes to go in the game. So even on an incredibly off night for Wemby, the Spurs were still right there, and they had their chances.
That's when you're coaching. That's when, as you said, you know, your coach has got to give you something.
Yeah. That was a bad
game. He got to get a couple points himself, you know?
Yeah, the biggest losers, the zeros from game one, it's Wemby for sure. It's Mitch Johnson and it's De'Aaron Fox. Like those three guys all have to be better. Fox is the one I'm most concerned with because it's a trend of him in these playoffs.
And he plays a lot of minutes.
And he plays a lot of minutes. Maybe that's where Mitch Johnson, I think that is where Mitch Johnson needs to be more of a hero and less of a zero. He's got to realize that Dylan Harper's the better option there down the stretch. And then Wemby, like, you know, you focus on the role players, and the Spurs have so many great ones, and that's a huge reason why they won 60-plus games in the regular year and why they're in the NBA. You don't win championships if your superstars aren't superstars.
Right.
And, again, this was basically tied with a couple of minutes left in the fourth quarter. The superstar on the other team put the team on his back and willed them to a win. The superstar on the Spurs was nowhere to be found, and they lost.
You know, by the way, Jalen Brunson is going to be like this every game. He's not – that guy didn't have very many down nights.
No, he's going to be better. He was 12 of 31 and 2 of 9 from 3. He's going to be better.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, Spurs got some things to clean up. Game 2 tomorrow night. San Antonio has opened up as a 5.5-point favorite. The winner of that game will be determined by whoever the Buck picks during tomorrow's show.
Oh, boy.
If he bets on the Spurs again, congrats to the Knicks for going up 2-0. If he bets on the Knicks, then the Spurs will even things up, headed up to Madison Square.
I'm going to help Spurs fan out because I'm going to take the Knicks in 6 anyway now, so it doesn't matter.
There you go. I like that. Well, your gold star locks for the games maybe matter more than your series-long predictions.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So we'll see what you've got for the people tomorrow. All right, we will take your thoughts. The Coda text line, 512-222-9328. The YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch live chats are rocking and rolling as well.
Are the Golden Knights back at it again? Are they at it again tonight?
Yes, they are.
Is it possible they can go 2-0 against Carolina? Can they go 2-0? I don't know.
Carolina, it's very possible.
My God, they do score a lot. They sure score a lot of goals, those two.
You're down 600,000 units right now. You keep saying, oh, let's get to the finals. Let's get to the finals. You've had two picks on the two game ones.
Can I take the over?
Yeah, I'll give you the over.
What is it? 6? Probably
only
not.
5.5.
That's it?
You had 9 goals in game one. Only 5.5, the over-under tonight in game 2.
I'll take 100,000 units on the over.
Okay.
No side. And I'll take another 100,000 units on the Golden Knights.
Wow.
The Vegas Knights, yes.
Going up 2-0. Okay. Game 2 tonight.
Carolina homers.
in Raleigh. Man, that's great. Congrats on Carolina on a 3-1 victory tonight.
No.
You're getting close to down a million units, sir. You better be careful.
Never happened. I'm too good for that.
All right. We will see. We will see. Okay, we'll get to we got to get to these coaching rankings in college football here.
Yes, indeed.
Teasing them. We'll finally get to them today. And then a lot in the BBK news to dive into. But before anything else, Buck, how about another round of sponsor shout-outs?
Our friends over at Woods Comfort System, folks, for 70 years in Central Texas, they have been getting it done when it comes to heating and air conditioning. Now they do plumbing. So trust your plumbing. If you have plumbing needs indoors or outdoors, trust it to the people that we have trusted it to. And I definitely trust them because my air conditioning system is working great right now. And you're going to need that when next week rolls in those 90-degree temperatures after it's rained and got a lot of humidity popping up. You want the air conditioning to work properly. If there's anything going wrong with your air conditioning, if you're not satisfied with the temperature that it's on, call our friends at Woods Comfort Systems, folks. As I said, 70 years in Central Texas, nobody does it better.
No, they don't. WoodsComfortSystems.com for more information. I think they've got a $70 tune-up special going on as well. So make sure your AC is ready to roll for these hot summer months. Make sure your roof is ready to roll for the next set of storms that we've got, which will probably be today and then tomorrow and then Saturday and then Sunday. And then it just never ends around here. Well, your roof keeps you safe. It keeps your family dry. You don't want any leaks. You don't want to take any chances with one of the most important parts of your home or place of business. Our friends at Qualis Roofing and Construction, they specialize in both residential and commercial roofs. If something's wrong with your roof, they will get it checked out. If you're not sure if something's wrong with your roof, if you just want to ensure that your roof is good to go for the next set of storms that we have, reach out to Qualis Roofing and Construction. Classic mistake that homeowners make is, well, it didn't hail, so my roof's fine. If you've got an old house, if you've got a roof that's been on for 20 years, reach out to Qualis. They'll come out to your place. They'll inspect everything. May not look like something's wrong, but if there's a minor issue there, they'll help get it taken care of before it turns into a major issue down the line. Tons of 5-star reviews online. These are great people as well. Super communicative, great guys to hang out with. I have lunch with these dudes all the time. Great people, great customer service, the best roofers in the game. Don't take any chances. QualisGC.com. That's their website. Or you can give them a call, 512-257-0033. Mention this show. You're going to get a free Longhorns T-shirt from our friends at Qualis Roofing.
You know, we played a nice round of golf on Tuesday. It was warm as can be out there. The humidity was up. And, of course, the old man gets out of the cart and walks hundreds of yards while being yelled at. Well, I took my drops. I took my early bird CBD drops before I went to play. And here it is Thursday, BK. Still got no pain in the legs, the knees, the ankles. My hips feel fantastic. I'm telling you, that stuff is working for me. And that is a big plus. Because when I just happen not to be the guy who gets in the car. I'm a nature seeker. So I'm going and looking over at the ponds, because just generally where my ball is. You know, I'm looking around the edges of the ponds in the woods. I do a lot of walking where you can't take a golf cart. But thanks to Early Bird CBDs, I feel fantastic days afterwards. And generally, a day or two afterwards, my legs started to hurt a little bit. My shoulders started to hurt. But the Early Bird CBDs, it takes that pain away from me, and I love them.
And these drops are so good, and they're super portable too. So you could take them to a friend's place. You could take them to a bar or restaurant and just drop a couple of these into whatever you're drinking, whether it's an alcoholic beverage or not. Put it in juice. You could put it in tonic. You could put it in sparkling water, whatever. Put a couple of these drops in there. You're going to be feeling great. Take the edge off with Early Bird CBD. The Buck uses it for pain relief. You just heard his testimonial. I take this stuff just to unwind and relax at the end of a long day. They've got the gummies, which are fantastic, but summertime, you're going to be outside. You're going to need to hydrate. Drop these in. You want to feel good. You'll feel good with Early Bird CBD. Drop a couple of these into your drink and thank us later. Earlybirdcbd.com. is the website. The promo code's Bucky. You type that in, you get 20% off of your first order.
Yeah, you were looking at me the other day when I was having breakfast, drinking coffee and orange juice instead of water. Should have been putting my droplets in that orange juice. Should have been drinking water, though, to go with it. But I did put it in a bottle of water. That was fantastic. Like I said, man, days later, there's nothing like not having pains in your legs and your knees after you play, you know, a round of golf. when I'm thinking I'm not going to be sweating a lot.
Yep.
And I come back and I don't feel soaked, but I've lost like 4 pounds. It's crazy.
That's how it goes. Quick shout out to McCall Custom Homes as well.
Absolutely.
You'll have no pain if you call Mike McCall.
No.
I don't know if that really makes sense for a custom home builder and renovator, but hey, maybe you don't like your place, but you don't want to move.
Your house can be a pain.
Your house can be a pain. There you go. Well done. If you need some things fixed, reach out to McCall Custom Homes. But if you just want to upgrade your space, you don't want to buy and sell. You don't want to move. Moving sucks. Nobody likes doing that. You bought your place for a reason. Why not make it better? New kitchen, new bathroom. Maybe you've got a growing family. Need to add on to your home. Maybe you just want to be outside a little bit more, but your yard just doesn't have anything going on. McCall Custom Homes, they can fix all of those things. They've been doing it for a long time. It's a father-son team with more than 4 decades of experience in Central Texas. So they know what it takes to turn a Central Texas home into something truly special. McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com, 512-633-9580. Mike's a great friend of ours. Call him, text him, tell him you heard about him on this show. He'll take care of you. Also, you can talk Longhorn stuff with him as well. He's a big Texas fan, big listener. He knows the bids. He knows the deal. McCall Custom Homes, we build value into your home. All right, we're not getting to this coaching rankings. I lied. We don't have enough time. We are going to get into a couple of NFL stories before the BBK news.
All right, all right.
Russell Wilson has officially announced his retirement, Buck. Okay. Earlier in the week, we talked about him taking a job with CBS as a studio analyst for the upcoming NFL season. He turned down a 1-year contract offer from the New York Jets to be Geno Smith's backup. The jokes write themselves. The guy would rather retire than play for the Jets. It's a big deal because people don't want to retire. These athletes want to play forever. They want to make it for as long as they can. And Russell Wilson's like, anybody else? And the rest of the league's like, nah, we're good. And the Jets are like, here you go, man. We got you. And he's like, nope.
No, thank you. You are Cleveland. I'm out.
Right. At the time, you know, we heard about the CBS stuff earlier in the week. It was reported that he was just pausing his NFL career. But yesterday he confirmed that it's a retirement. So I guess my question to you here, Buck, again, we already sort of talked about Russell Wilson leaving. He's a 10-time Pro Bowler. He's a Super Bowl champ, Walter Payton Man of the Year, threw for nearly 47,000 yards in this league, 14 years in the NFL. Is Russell Wilson a Hall of Famer?
Not a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's a Hall of Famer. He'll get in.
You think so?
Yeah. Who told him to throw that pass in that second Super Bowl?
That wasn't his fault, although he did throw
that play.
Yeah, that'd be
that play?
Pete Carroll and Daryl Bevel.
Yeah.
The head coach and the offensive coordinator of the Seahawks that called that pass play when they had Marshawn Lynch at the 1-yard line with a chance to beat the Patriots.
Yes.
And Tom Brady. I would not vote Russell Wilson into the Hall of Fame.
No,
he's I think he will get in, not first ballot. I think down the line. He will end up getting in. The guy never got an MVP vote, let alone won an MVP award. He wasn't the Super Bowl MVP in the Super Bowl that his team won. He's very good, very good, great quarterback in this league for a long time. I just don't think he's got enough accolades individually to get in. So he's also really corny.
No, first time around, no chance.
No, but you would put him in.
I would.
Okay. There are 28 quarterbacks currently in the NFL Hall of Fame. 19 of them have won at least one league MVP award. So Russell Wilson wouldn't be the only guy without an MVP to get in there. And
he's got a Super Bowl, right?
He's got a Super Bowl, which helps. But, you know, it's always tough because, like, you look at Russell Wilson's passing statistics, and they're going to look a lot better than a lot of quarterbacks who are in the hole. But they're throwing a lot more now than they did when Y.A. Tittle was in the league.
Wow.
It's a lot easier to put up stats now. I mean, Phillip Rivers' stats are better than, like, 90% of the quarterbacks who are in the hole. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. So it's tough to like compare eras when it comes to this position. And like Russell Wilson's stats, they look like Hall of Fame stats, but I just, my eye test and the accolades and the awards, it's not good enough for me to get him in.
I'm going to give you a big buck on for that Y.E. Tittle remark. Sal from New York likes that. Big fan of Y.E. Tittle back with the New York Football Giants.
I don't know anything about that guy except he has tit in his last name.
And that's good enough for, and that's good enough for you.
That's good enough for me. I could have gone with, what, like Fran Tarkenton, some other old quarterback who's in there the hole. Like, that would have worked, too. Sonny Jurgensen, whatever. But those guys don't have tit in their last name.
Joe Cap. Is Joe Cap in the Hall of Fame?
No Cap. Joe Cap.
Wow.
I don't know. Is Joe Cap in the Hall of Fame?
You went with Y.E. Tittle. Why not Johnny U? Because Johnny U's in the Hall of Fame.
That's for you to know if old bags like Joe Cap are in the Hall
of Fame. Yeah, Johnny Unitas is in the Hall of Fame. Johnny Unitas is the Hall of Fame.
Looks like Joe Cap is in the College Football Hall of Fame and the Canadian Football Hall of Fame, but not the he's not in Canada. Make the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Sorry about that. No Cap, Joe Cap. You are in. Guy. So I'm out on Russell Wilson being in. And Micah Parsons, Green Bay Packers edge rusher Micah Parsons, will apparently not be back until at least mid-October. He's expected to begin the season on the PUP list, which means he won't be eligible to play for the first four games of the year. Of course, tore his ACL in mid-December in a game against the Broncos, had surgery later in December. The initial hope was that he'd be back in September, in the first month of the year. Now it seems like that will not be the case. By the way, the Packers play the Cowboys week 6 in Green Bay, October 18th. That could be
that dude is not rushing himself back.
No, he already got the contract. Why would he do that?
Right.
Also, yeah, you don't want to rush back and risk re-aggravating anything. No. So,
but you know how these guys are now. They come back in less than a year, and they're ready to go, and they're ready to play. Micah Parsons is not coming back until his full time is up to heal. I don't think he's coming back a day earlier.
I agree with that, and I think Jerry Jones is going to tell us he won the trade the next time he gets in front of a microphone.
Sure.
Get ready for that deal. But there's your other NFL headline for the people. All right, let's get to the BBK news here, Buck.
Okay.
Got a couple of good ones here. We'll have to save a couple of these for a different time. But how about another edition of Guess That State? It's been a little bit since we've done this bit on the show. If you're new to this show, I give Bucky the details of some sort of crazy story from somewhere in the U.S. of A., and he tries to pinpoint which exact state where this went down. A bizarre late-night incident outside of a Taco Bell is the crux of today's Guess That State. According to authorities, a 28-year-old man named Brandon Irizarry was arrested outside of a Taco Bell in a certain county in a certain state after employees called police just before 1 a.m. to report that a man was exposing himself near the restaurant. The sheriff's office, leaning fully into the absurdity of the situation, described it by saying the man had his chimichanga out. Nice words there with the Taco Bell. Nice work there, Sheriff's Department in this state. When deputies arrived after they were called upon the scene, they found this guy still outside the restaurant. And according to investigators, he seemed so focused on whatever he was doing that he didn't even initially notice that police had shown up. Authorities said he had multiple pairs of pants pulled down.
What?
He tried to cover himself once he realized the deputies were there. Although, apparently, he chose to pull his hoodie down to cover himself instead of pulling his pants up. So this dude, seems so focused on whatever he was doing. I wonder what he was doing. He had his pants pulled down, and he didn't pay attention. He was so locked in. It's pretty obvious to ducks exactly what this guy was doing with his chimichanga in that moment. But yeah, for some reason, instead of pulling his pants up to try to cover himself up, he pulled his hoodie down a little bit. He was arrested. charged with unlawful exposure of sexual organs and booked into jail on a $5,000 bond. But somehow, before you guess, Buck, that wasn't the weirdest part of the story. That's already kind of weird, right? A guy's 1 a.m. outside of a Taco Bell, pants down, exposing himself. All that's unique enough. But how about this? After taking him into custody and going through his belongings, deputies discovered a live pet betta fish swimming inside a plastic container in his backpack. The sheriff's office had a lot of questions. Instead, they focused on rescuing the fish, which they jokingly named Baja Blast in honor of the Taco Bell. Another nice bit there. The fish was transferred to a local humane society. Apparently, it is doing well. So, this guy, exposing himself at a Taco Bell, gets arrested, gets booked. Then they find a pet fish in his backpack. Once they've taken him in, I ask you now, my friend, to guess that state.
I originally, before you said the betta fish, I thought it was going to be Houston, Texas, USA, America. Right? Too warm to have a fish in a plastic bag there. So I'm going to go with, I think I'm going to go with someplace in, nah, too cold. That'll be too cold. I'm going to go Virginia. Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Accept that.
No?
Can't accept that.
I'm not staying with Texas. I know people are thinking Texas, not Williamson County. No. I'm going to go with, this just sounds like Philly man, maybe. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Can't accept that.
Oh my goodness.
I'll give you one more guess before I reveal.
Okay. Well, if I'm going to take a guess, I'm going to say Miami Beach, Florida. Florida man's at it again. What?
Ding, ding, ding.
Get out of here.
It's not Miami Beach, but it is Florida, which is usually the safe bet. Now, sometimes I guess that state. I always assume you're going to guess Florida first, so I try to find a story from somewhere else to catch you off guard. But this is, in fact, Florida man with Florida fish and Florida chimichanga out.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Betta fish? A betta? Those are cute little, those little multicolored fish. I used to have those.
As a kid, right?
Well, as an adult, too.
Really?
Yeah, I like bettas. I like those. I still like going to pet stores and look at the betta fish. Yeah. They're very aggressive towards other betta fish. You know, they'll eat the fins off of them. They'll attack other fish, other bettas.
I don't know much about fish outside of redfish and trout, which I like to catch and eat. Are betta fish, well, goldfish are the ones that like can only last a week, right? Like,
no, for you, they probably only lasted a week.
I don't know. I don't think my family ever owned fish growing up. Maybe we did, and it died so quick that I just didn't remember. So it's not a big part of my life. But like, we were never a fish tank household when I was growing up. I've never been that intrigued with owning fish.
We were fish bowl house as kids. Everybody had their little, you know, they could have it for a week until it died and you threw it in the toilet. But I was also in, I think I was when I first got to Pennsylvania at Woolworths, I bought a pet, a little alligator. Woolworths at one time, Woolworths stores had a pet department that had stuff like alligators and snakes in them. I think I bought a little pet alligator about this yay big.
Sure, it wasn't an iguana or something?
No, I bought an iguana when I was an older gentleman. When I was a coach at Texas, I had an iguana that my daughter eventually killed. I mean, it went from this big to like that big, BK, bigger than this, I mean, huge. Yeah. Neighbors would find it on their back porch and stuff like that. And my daughter left it in the garage one time overnight and came up to me and said, you know, Iggy is playing possum. I said, no, he's not playing possum. He froze to death. He can't be in the garage overnight. I told her he's dead. It's my older daughter, Veronica. She slept with the iguana on her chest. She had scrapes and scars and scratches from the iguana scratching her all the time. But she kept it out of the cage in her room. Oh.
But one night It was cold. I figured it was too hot and it overheated. You're saying it was like wintertime and it froze?
Yeah, she took it in there in a cage or something and didn't bring it out. And I'm like, oh no, honey, he's not playing possum. He'd be dead.
Okay. Interesting.
But yeah, I got rid of him. I don't know what I did with that alligator, that little gator. He didn't grow up to be really a bigger gator. He just stayed at a certain, because he died before that, or I put him in a sewer or something. My mom made me get rid of it.
Where were you living? This is in Pennsylvania?
No, I think I was in Greensboro, North Carolina at the time.
And they let you buy a gator from like a PetSmart?
No, not PetSmart. Woolworths. The Woolworths store. Woolworths.
I don't know what that is. What is Woolworths?
Like Walmart.
Oh. It would be like Walmart. You can buy an alligator at a Walmart?
Yeah, it would be like, yeah, people that know Woolworths stores, olds like myself understood that they had all kinds of fish and they had a pet department. Yeah, it was like the Walmart at that time, but you could buy pets in there.
Yeah, I mean, fish, I understand. It's still kind of crazy because I don't think you could buy a fish at a Walmart right now. But like going into a store and buying a fish or even an iguana, whatever. But a gator?
Yes, a little bit. They had little gators there. They used to have those little green turtles and things like that that you'd see in a regular pet store now. Yeah, Woolworths had those.
I'm surprised your mama let you buy one of those things. No chance well, I would have gotten a gator in the house.
I bought it with my money, and I put it in the tub and stuff, and I had it for, I don't know, probably about 2 or 3 weeks, and then it either died or I let it loose in the sewer.
Is that the one that got Chubbs? Yeah. Do we blame you?
Well, people used to find gators in the sewers of New York. Because people have those as pets in the city, they get too big and they dump them in the sewers.
That's unacceptable. You can't have a pet gator. You shouldn't be allowed to have one of those.
I was just a kid, man.
Ugh. Okay, so what about this? What about this fish as an adult? Okay, like while you had kids, I understand. While you were a kid and while you were, you know, raising kids, I get having pets like that. But you had, what'd you have, fish when you were on your own?
No, well, I lived in that place on Thomas Springs Road. It had two like 75-gallon tanks built into the wall, and I bought that place. I had tropical fish in that thing for a while.
All right. I guess if it's already there, that's acceptable.
Yes. Yeah, but I wasn't going to go about a little fishbowl. I mean, when I was a kid, I had a little fishbowl. We all had that.
That's what I thought you were talking about. Like as a grown adult with kids out of the house, you're like, no, I'm going to buy a fish tank myself and have a bunch of fish.
No, I didn't do that. This was built into the house. No, I never went out. I didn't kill a fish. I mean, that was death for the fish.
Death for the fish. By the way, here's as we put a bow on this story, here's the picture of 28-year-old perv, Brandon Irizarry. And yeah, he's the guy from.
I don't want to see that dude underneath my bed at night, right there. No thanks.
Do you want to see any dude underneath your bed at night?
I don't know that guy's face, Madonna's face. No, thank you.
Those are the two.
That just scared me right there.
Here's Baja Blast, the betta fish that was in this little container in his backpack that the cops were able to rescue.
Yeah, that dude looked like that homeless dude that, you know, I go there on Congress or whatever it is, that road that I see sit on that bench and I try to give him socks and money. And he says, I can't accept that. Socks are made of cotton. And I'm like, I said to him, what's the deal about cotton? I said, if it was polyester, would you take it? He said, I just can't take cotton. I said, what was your like dad, like your great grandfather, a slave or something? And then that's the one where the listeners to this show when we first came on told me, leave that guy alone. That guy's going to stab you, old man. My wife even told me, let him be. He's trying to tell you he doesn't want to be bothered. So when he stabs you in the back of the neck, you'll know why.
Yeah, I remember that one.
The guy's still on that bench. He's still on that bench, BK.
There you go. Well, at least he's not fondling himself outside of a Taco Bell at 1 a.m.
With a back full of betta fish. That's strange.
Strange story. Florida man is always strange.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Well, we got the Florida man in the third guess, at least.
He did. Well done there, sir. Why today's not so bad, real quick. Tough day in human history. This, I think, is one of your least favorite days ever. Just a guess, but I feel like an educated one based on how well I know you. June 4th, 1919, the 19th Amendment passes Congress that guaranteed women the right to vote. And you have gone on record multiple times saying this is your least favorite day of the year.
Oh, come on, man.
Do I have that correct?
Women have the right to vote somewhere else.
There had to be a punchline somewhere at the end of that.
Nothing wrong with them voting.
That was exactly what I was looking for. Way to go, sir. A couple of birthdays today. Any good ones? Not really. Angelina Jolie, 51.
A little strange.
She's still got her fastball, though, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's very lovely.
Bruce Dern, 90.
That dude's crazy.
Crazy. Michelle Phillips from the Mamas and the Papas.
There you go.
82. Speaking of crazy, Russell Brand, 51. Wow. Keith David, 70. Born on this day, now dead. Buck, Dr. Ruth.
Oh.
One of your favorites, right?
He's a classic.
Dr. Ruth died in 2024. Man. And then National Cheese Day, National Hug Your Cat Day. My cat's out of town.
I hugged my cat this morning.
Nicely done. National Cognac Day.
Never tasted cognac, BK.
Really? I'm a big...
All my drinking days, I've never had a sip of cognac.
Interesting. I'm a fan. That used to be like my go-to drink, oddly enough.
Your and old then, person drink was a cognac, little hit of cognac?
Big Hennessy guy.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then National Cheese Day. What's your favorite way to consume cheese before we say goodbye to the people?
A good grilled cheese sandwich along with some nice, good fries.
Really?
I love good grilled cheese. I don't make enough grilled cheese for myself because I can't use the stove.
Yeah, that's true. But you're not a tomato soup guy with the grilled cheese. You're going French fries?
No, I do not. No, I'm not. I don't like tomato soup.
Okay. I'm with you.
I'm a bean and bacon guy. Campbell's bean and bacon soup.
That's a soup?
Yes.
Beans and bacon in there?
Yeah, it's good. It's delicious.
I might have to change my stance on soup. That does sound good. I hate soup. Soup's for girls.
Dude, use bean and bacon and take some rich crackers and crackle them up in there.
Mm.
Delicious.
Okay.
I like that. A fondue.
Fondue. All right. Well, there you go. Enjoy your National Cheese Day, everybody.
Absolutely.
Thank y'all for tuning in to a Buck Off Thursday edition of the show. Buck on to everybody for tuning in. Hopefully tomorrow we're talking about Texas softball winning another national championship. Thanks to Chip Brown for his time. Thanks to all of you for your time. And the Buck and I will see y'all tomorrow.
Hook 'em, y'all.
Hook 'em.